Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Good night. Fort Myers. A Florida man was shot and killed by police because he allegedly, I feel like allegedly is doing a lot of heavy lifting here, murdered and dismembered his roommate. Oh. Yeah, a woman told police that her husband, 33-year-old Willie Lumain, was killing their roommate. According to the reports, I don't mean to make light of this, but it's wild. Lumain was angry. Okay, this is what it says. Lumain became angry on June 8th and remained angry through June 9th, saying that he was going to leave the residence because it was too hot. The woman said she was fine with him leaving, and she went to sleep before being woken up by the victim screaming, "Help, he is killing me, he is killing me, help," multiple times. She was able to gather her children, take them to her neighbors, and make the 911 call. And police, when they arrived, found the whole door open, trail of blood coming from the entrance, and they found Willie in the back of the house, approaching the window with a big old knife in his hand. Oh, and holding a whole human torso. Oh. Yeah. So then he began smashing out the back window with the knife and then climbed out and approached the other officers. They tried to tase him to bring him down, but it was ineffective. So officers say they then fired shots at him, striking him. They used medical aid, but he didn't make it. And, you know, I feel like allegedly that's, you know, when you're seen holding the torso.
Alleged torso.
Yeah. No, that's not allegedly. That's you holding the torso. So that's, there you go. Let's see. Can we go to the guy who's going to drive over somebody at the Walgreens?
Yes.
Okay. A Florida man accused of harassing a Walgreens worker trying to drive over the manager. His hair is interesting. It looks like he had a blowout and it got messed up. A Winter Springs man was arrested over the weekend on accusations that he tried to run over the local Walgreens store manager, according to the police. They learned that the man, 31-year-old Juan Matos, had entered the store, created a disturbance, threatening the cashier, made sexual advances towards her. Cashier called her dad to the store. And then the man, I mean, it became a whole thing. And then ultimately he tried to run her over in the parking lot. He was arrested. There's been a big movement to change how we select the president of the United States, how we vote on that. And, you know, the founders instituted an electoral college for a reason. Well, the progressive left really wants to get away from that, and for obvious reasons. And so as a result, you have 18 states that have signed on to overhaul how presidents are elected. It's a very radical left-wing movement. Hillsdale is taking a survey on presidential selection at Dana4Hillsdale.com. They are very interested in your views on this, not because they're trying to collect information or do anything like that. They want the information of your views because that informs them how they approach this issue. Hillsdale's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, founded in 1844 to offer the education needed to preserve civil and religious liberties. That is their mission, and that is why they need your help. They want your input on presidential selection. Help Hillsdale in their mission to educate America so our liberties can be protected. Visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. Start your national survey on presidential selection right now. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
We need you. We need you to overcome the unrelenting opposition of the gun lobby, gun manufacturers, so many politicians when they oppose common sense gun legislation. I used to be a law, when I was no longer the vice president, I became a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Before that, I taught a constitutional law class, and so I taught the Second Amendment. There's never been a time that says you can own anything you want. Never. You couldn't own a cannon during the Civil War. No, I'm serious. Think about it. How many of you have heard this phrase? The blood of liberty. Wash of dough. Give me a break. No, I mean it. Seriously. And by the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need...
So the quote is, occasionally the tree of liberty must be watered. with the blood of patriots and tyrants. That's the quote from Thomas Jefferson. I just feel like if you're going to trot out a founding father's quote in your big old anti-gun speech, then maybe you should get it right. I don't know. Just a little thought, a little bit of a thought. That was from yesterday. And holy cow, guys. First off, welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We are at the top of this first hour. And I mean, it's pretty wild to see yesterday his speech. We've heard it all before with this stuff. I mean, we've heard it all before with Biden. And I noticed the bots were really mad, by the way, yesterday with some of this. I don't know if you saw that. I had a ton of bots that were super all like brand new created accounts that were all like pushing Joe Biden's speech, which I thought was real weird. So we're covering some of that today. And also he's on his way to embarrass us at G7. I'm positive. So Dana Loesch with you. Listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. The simulcast, which is the visual component, channel 347, Direct TV. And we have a chat on Rumble, all kinds of good stuff. So the speech that he gave yesterday, not to diminish any threats contained therein, but it's stuff that we've heard before. And his quote was real weird. It is incredibly weird. He completely got it wrong, the quote. And then he also was saying that you can't own a tank, which you can. You can own a tank. We've been over this before, too. I also felt like, do we have the, I'm pulling this up here. Do we have the soundbite where he was saying that you don't have a jet either, which I thought was another really weird audio soundbite from him, because he said this kind of before, which almost sounds like the government's threatening to murk you. And he had said that he's talking about jets. And he said that, well, you know, audio soundbite too. He mentioned apparently that we F-15s are constitutionally protected. Listen.
By the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
Now, see, so a couple of things here. We're going to get to the F-15 thing in a moment. Everybody kind of skipped over the first part of his sentence. Can you play that one more time? Just listen to the first part of his sentence. Listen to just the first part.
By the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about.
See, if they think they want to take on government, if we get out of line, which is what they're talking about. So let's, before we get to the F-15 part, let's stop there because everybody kind of ran right over that. First off, that part was incredibly, that concerning. Mm-hmm. There's an unpopular, well, not unpopular. I don't even know why it's controversial, considering the way this country was founded. We have a bunch of pseudo badasses in the United States that think that they're so tough, but they don't realize the purpose of the Second Amendment. It doesn't have anything to do with you defending yourself against a rapist coming into your home. I mean, yeah, you can defend yourself. It covers that. But do you realize the real reason that we have it? The real impetus for creating that with the founders? Let's go back in time. Let's go back to the Revolution, which predates the War of Independence. The Revolution was the Stamp Act. It was everything else. It was a bunch of fed up colonists who had exorbitant taxation, similar to what we have now, placed upon their shoulders, and all their monies were sent over to England and the king over there. And we had no representation in matters that were designed to govern our everyday lives. We had no representation at all. And when we entered into the War of Independence and we fought a bloody battle for our independence from the crown, we came from years of quartering soldiers. We came from years of redcoats in the streets. We came from years of living under threat of penalty, enforcements carried out by military. That's what we lived in threat of. And our founders were very, very purposeful in terms of how they shaped our founding documents, how they based it on a republic, not a direct democracy. They didn't incorporate we had parliamentary measures and we had democratic processes that were used in the republic. They were so smart in how they created this government. And they were such students of of the Roman governments and of the Greeks and everything else. And they were so smart, and they took the best things from some of the best things, and they used it to make the best thing. And so they were coming into the creation of a new sovereign entity that was to be by the people, for the people. And you can't have an entity that's by the people and for the people if it's an entity that has, you know, a military ruling class. And they wanted to get away from that. They didn't want to, they didn't want a monarchy. They didn't want a, you know, monarchist republic or monarchy and having a monarch and a parliament. They didn't want any of that. They wanted a republic in which the people represented themselves, and that they had to be virtuous and educated, which we're losing, both of those. They had to be virtuous and educated so that the common man could represent himself, and that there was no aristocracy, and there was no, there wasn't anything like that. Everyone was capable of doing the job, and it was a service, not just to one's own family, but to one's neighbor. And when they created this, and they incorporated the Second Amendment, going through the history, and I've written some books on this, so I'm pretty well versed in the history. Again, they did not want to fear the people that had the guns. They wanted to have guns. They wanted to be able to protect themselves from anyone who tried to force tyranny upon them again. That's why George Mason said, when they were debating this and when he was writing letters back and forth, he had remarked that the militia is the whole of the people, every American man and woman. There is no separate, and everybody is part of that. Everyone has as a responsibility the cause of freedom. It's not just for some. It's not to be outsourced. It is all, it is a shared responsibility and privilege. That's how it was viewed. They did not ever want to live under the tyranny of redcoats and a crown that didn't represent them but was happy to take their money. So when you look at the history of this, and for the people who say, well, they said well-regulated militia, look back at the parlance of the time, you absolute illiterates. I get really upset at the illiteracy rate of this country. Well-regulated meant you could keep yourself well. Actually, it was a phrase, and a friend of mine pointed this out. I mean, I was a fan of Jane Austen. Of course, every girl was back in college. There's a phrase she used, like, repeatedly. That was a popular phrase to use, almost cliche. Oh, well-regulated, meaning they were able to take care of themselves. Talking about a well-regulated militia, you're talking about every man and woman who is capable not only of shooting, not only of carrying their firearm, but servicing it, cleaning it as well. That's what was meant at the time. And of course, anyone who ever paid attention to anything that the founders ever wrote to themselves or to each other, the debates, or paid attention to the Federalist Papers at all whatsoever, this doesn't need explaining to you because you're educated. So when he says if they want to think to take on the government if we get it out of line, that's the entire purpose of the Second Amendment, is to take on the government if you get out of line. Self-defense is covered. But the government is never to think that they have more power than the people, because the government's power is derived from the consent of the people. And that is manifest by way of a vote. And people who ignore this are often tyrants. So he has no concept of how America works. I've met people who have immigrated into this country, who have more of a knowledge and an appreciation for America than people like Joe Biden who were born here. That tells you. So that's what the purpose of the Second Amendment is. It scares the hell out of the left when you mention this, because they don't like to be reminded that there are limitations to their tyrannical goals. Can only go so far. The people have rights. The people are required. That's why Thomas Jefferson said what he said. But he said it wasn't just the blood of tyrants, it's the blood of patriots, because there's a cost to it. And it's a cost that should only be paid when there is no other option. And the people who've never felt such heat and have never been around anyone who's even paid such a cost, they're always the most eager to Leroy Jenkins right the hell into it. But then Biden, in that same sentence, in this soundbite, go ahead and play it again, because this soundbite was just amazing to me. Go ahead so we can hear the full sentence now.
By the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
So maybe it's just me, but I immediately interpreted that as, oh, so F-15s are also constitutionally protected. Great. I am going to go and build a garage now to house my giant F-15. I mean, you know, I'll now just, but if anyone gives me problems, Canada identifies as a drone.
Yeah. That's right. I was going to go to the F-35. I don't know if that program's so great for the United States, but I think that's a vertical takeoff.
Oh, that's actually a really good point. You know what I mean?
And
yeah, you don't need all of the
runway and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, making a note.
It's just a drone.
Vertical. That's making a note. So when my second thought after I saw that was laughs in Viet Cong or laughs in Mujahideen. I mean, you go back to, this was in the 80s, so I wasn't, you know, historically I can go back and read about what ultimately became the Taliban, members of some of the northern Afghanistan fighters that ended up becoming the Taliban. What did they just have, Kane? Well, they had some rockets and some other incendiary devices, but what do they have? Just guns, rifles.
Yep. That's how they do it.
Viet Cong had what?
Oh, yeah. That's all they had, too. Yeah. Guns.
Yeah.
That's all you need, apparently.
That's all you need. That's really all you need. And then my third thought was, wait, so you're saying that if rifles aren't enough to take over the government, so what is your big opposition to rifles?
Thank you.
This was such a stupid sentence that he said. I mean, I could do an entire class on this. Our good friends over at Caltech, American-made. You want to talk about a story, an all-American story. George Kellgren immigrates from Sweden, goes to beautiful Florida, and creates a company, adds to the tax base, creates jobs, hires veterans, family-run, family-owned company, and firearms quality made right here in the U.S. of A. They're an innovative Florida-based creator of pistols and rifles and shotguns, accessories, gear, and they've been continuing the mission of game-changing innovation and performance with their, for instance, Sub-2K Gen 3. I have the second generation of this, the Sub-2K. Reads a Sub-2000 on the website. It's light, foldable, it's effective, it's a 9mm carbine. They've they've reconfigured a few things on this rifle, on this carbine for the Gen 3, so you can keep your optics on when you fold it in half. My Gen 2 version, I have to detach my optics, but with the Gen 3, keep everything on, fold it right in half, and it just as quickly and easily deploys. It has lightened action for easy racking and ambidextrous bolt hold open as well, all providing improved manipulation, lightened, nice, real buttery smooth 5-pound trigger. Again, quality made right here in the U.S. of A. We need more companies like Caltech. See Caltech online. See everything that they have to offer at KeltechWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. That's KeltechWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Do you guys remember Leah Thomas, the dude who wanted to swim as a woman? And he was trying to compete in the Olympics as a chick. Well, he lost that battle. Leah Thomas, he is not going to compete in next month's Paris Olympics as a woman because he has a penis. So that's why. He's barred from swimming in the female category. He failed to overturn the rules introduced by swimming's governing body in 2022. They said, no, if you've undergone any part of male puberty, you absolutely cannot compete as a woman. So he's out. I don't know if you can appeal or what. Okay, this is how poltergeist happened. Poltergeist, this is what happened. Spoiler alert. It's old. A Tucson homeowner did not know his house was built on a cemetery until he found bones. How in the world? Moses Thompson bought his home in 2006, and he said that we'd only been in the house for a month and a sinkhole opened up in front of the house. He thought it was a sewer line break, and when he was digging, he found the soil was dry, and then he found brass decorations, and then he hit some boards. And then he reached in and pulled out a handful of bones. And the local archaeologist said, quote, you 100% hit a human grave. Your house was built over the Court Street Cemetery. Oh my gosh. You can sue over that, right? And like get your money back? Who would want to? Oh my gosh!
If it wasn't disclosed in the contract, yeah.
Because like, if people kick the bucket in your house, don't you have to tell them? No. Yeah, I think you got to disclose that. A BBC news presenter suffered an acute auto meltdown before signing off as Ron Burgundy. Oh man, it was in Britain. The BBC news host Miriam Moshiri struggled live on air to present the news. Her auto cue went into meltdown. She had to sign off a la Ron Burgundy. They were struggling. She said, I mean, at some other point, she goes, we're going to be dipping in and out of the conference today. And then she said that, she goes, am I talking about myself here? No, over the, what? She said, Dormice, Hazel Dormice. And they had a story that messed up about the decline of a mouse population. I don't know. She just lost it. It was kind of funny. Let's see. Trank. Really? It's turning illicit drug users into amputees. So people are doing so much dope that they lose their arms and legs.
They inject it into their arms, wherever they inject it.
It rots the flesh and bone. Oh, my gosh. Say no to rotting flesh and bone. Oh, my gosh. All right, coming up. Biden's on his... He's in Italy for the G7. Who here is super excited about his performance? Nobody? We're going to talk about that coming up. Stick with us. You guys, I need to share this story with you. You're not going to believe this headline. You ready for it? What's up with Chicago's mayors, first off? Let me ask that. Because remember the last lady? Why are you laughing? We're not going to get through this segment, are we?
We do remember that last lady.
Was her?
Yeah.
She
was Lori Lightfoot, right?
Yeah, but do you remember? She went to a salon when everything was locked down, and she came back out looking the same. She's like, I got standards I got to maintain. I'm the face of the city. So you have Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. Guys, he spent $30,000 on personal grooming in 1 year on makeup. He spent $30,000 on makeup. I, as a girl who is on television 5 days a week and I do my own hair and makeup, I don't even spend $30,000 a year. I don't spend anywhere near $30,000 a year on hair and makeup. What is he doing? He's a man. Have you seen him? How is he spending $30,000 on hair and makeup a year? So my first thought was he had to hire a makeup artist, like a full-time makeup artist. So he spent $4,000 on hair appointments at a beauty salon. A man. Can I say something? I don't really know if I feel like dudes should be going anything but a barber shop. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little old school. Like, I don't want to be at my lady salon and look over and see you, a man. I just don't. I'm not being ignorant. I'm really sexist about this stuff. I am admittedly sexist. I think men control the yard and the thermostat and the car stuff. And women control like the food stuffs and the interior, right? And the family schedule. That's how this works, right? That's how this all works. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't even put gas in my own car. I have not put gas in my own car. I don't even know. I mean, I know how to do it. I just choose to not. I just don't do it. Like, I will not even, if I, and my kids will die, if I'm out, because I'm the only girl in my family, I won't even open my own door. I will stand in front of it and stare at it like a helpless Jedi trying to use a mind trick. And I will wait for a male in my party to open the door. Not because I'm helpless, because I'm not touching the door. I am sexist. I freely admit it, right? Just like if I walk past the thermostat and I feel like it's cold, I'll turn and look at my husband. I'll go, what's the temperature? I ask him what the temperature is instead of just grunk. See, that's the give and take, right? I don't have to put gas in my car. That's the give and take. Anyway, I don't want to be in a salon and looking over and seeing you, a man, in the salon, right? Is it weird? Like, you wouldn't want to be at the barber shop and look over and see a woman. right? I feel like the barbershop's where the men go. Is that sexist? I don't care. Anyway, he spent $4,000 going to the salon. He hardly has hair.
We're in a world where we wouldn't expect to see men in women's bathrooms, let alone...
Well, true.
Lady salons.
Lady salons. I don't think you got to say lady salon. I think that's redundant. It's salon and barbershop. That's it. So he hired this lady. Her name's Denise Malloy. And she runs like a makeup. I guess she does makeup. She does a makeup company. Let's see. Oh, Malloy's Makeup Magic. M-A-J-I-C. All right.
Sounds right.
Yeah. And the payments are listed under candidate makeup for TV, makeup retainer, candidate makeup for debate. And then apparently he, after he was elected, he has tons of payments to Makeup Magic that fall under like a very general catch-all campaign expense description, right? And he apparently used financial contributions from his supporters to foot the bill. Can you think about this for a minute? Imagine that you donated to this man's campaign and you found out that your donation went to a foundation for a man. I'm just saying. He spent that much money. I just can't.
I thought I was donating to a foundation. You mean I was buying foundation?
Yeah. And then so some of his supporters are going, well, his expenditures are supporting black and woman-owned businesses. $40,000, y'all. That's insane for a man to spend on makeup. It's insane to say that a man has spent money on makeup. I mean, I get for TV, they touch you up and they do that stuff. Although, can I just say, sidebar real quick? This is when I was with CNN, I was the token conservative back in the day when I was like the only conservative there besides Ari Fleischer. And we did, it was a debate. It was like a Republican primary or something that CNN was hosting. And Herman Cain was there. And they were going to put a bunch of makeup on Herman Cain because apparently like he was super shiny or something. And he just stopped and looked at them. And as they reached over to him, his head leaned away as they were. And I was in the makeup room when this was happening. He was like, nope. And then they finally were like, oh, Mr. Cain, you know, can we? And he did relent. But it was hysterical. He walked in there and was like, yeah, I don't think you're going to be doing that. He's like, I'm not doing a commercial. And they're like, well, you are on television. And, you know, it was a riot. But this guy, the mayor of Chicago, $40,000, I tell you what.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.